Let's take our Bibles this evening, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Jonathan, I know you're from Michigan, so I found a couple of things. These are actually state legislators, things that they said in Michigan, which is kind of, I think in Michigan they send the cream of the crop. So if you're not in the state legislature, then you're probably worse than these guys. But one of the guys, these are actual things. He said, 2 + 2 don't make 4 in my book. This was on the floor of the state legislature. One guy stood up one time and said, there comes a time to put principle aside and do what's right. Another man, one time in the legislature, these are all from Michigan. All right, unbelievable. Some of our friends wanted it in the bill. Some of our friends wanted it out. And Jerry and I are going to stick with our friends. So we don't know what that means. And then another guy, right at the end, said, Mr. Speaker, what did we just pass? That's what he asked. All from Michigan. I think there's a lot of others that we could go through, but I found those few, and I thought, wow, that's just a little taste of living in Michigan there. So I'm glad I'm in Indiana. All right, but I think all the head of the Democratic Party, actually, we could probably quote him a lot in the state of Indiana. I don't know if you got one, but I got a letter from, or I got an email from Karen Tallien. She was publishing her thing, and I sent a response back to her. I haven't heard yet, But in it, she quoted the Declaration of Independence, which I was happy that she could actually read that. But in it, she said, I just believe, and she was giving me her statement on the HRJ 3 bill and that, and the Declaration of Independence, we are endowed by a creator with certain unalienable rights. And so I just sent it back to her and I said, I am so glad that you finally admit there's a creator. And then I continued on. I said, and as you start to draw closer to this creator, you will find that maybe he has an opinion of what marriage is because he created it. So I haven't heard anything back yet. Haven't heard it, but I was just and I did ask her permission if I could post that because, email, especially state senators, they're, that's public knowledge. So I was thinking I might post that in the, Chesterton Tribune because she admits there's a creator. I was just touched with that. Although some of those type of people make you think about evolution. All right, but Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read 10 through 13. 4. Remember, don't trust. And it's going to get even worse when I get to the quarterly. There's going to be all kinds of numbers all over the place. But Philippians 4, we're going to start in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In verse 13, this is our text, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Again, in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Heavenly Father, we would ask this evening that you'd push aside our cares, and Lord, you would calm our hearts and our spirits. And Lord, you'd help us to focus on the Word of God. We thank you for our church, Lord, even as we sing and we congregationally and then hear specials. Lord, I thank you for godly music. I thank you that we have a church that prepares in such a way that we try to praise and honor you. Lord, I do think that you are honored through the music here. And I thank you that it prepares hearts. And Lord, as we come before you, I would ask that you would speak to our hearts this evening, give clarity of thought. And Lord, give power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We're going to take the seven words, seven powerful words. I can do all things through Christ. Seven unbelievably powerful words. You know, magicians perform feats by just a word. You know, abracadabra, poof, you know, and magic occurs. I've tried to do that in the youth group over the years because there are teenagers that the parents have, because they knew that I kind of messed around in junior church and in camp with magic tricks. And so a bunch of them thought it was real. I'm sorry to reveal this, teenagers. Some of you, you're older now. But parents, they wanted to pay me to make you poof and go away. But that actually is just, silly words. In fact, remember way, way, way back, there was Alibaba in the Arabian Nights. And Alibaba could open the robber's cave by saying, "Open sesame." All right, now, those are all fictional. I don't know. I'm probably hurting some of you now because you thought all of that was for real. But there's an amazing power in words. I looked it up this week, and the number one used word in the English language is you. No, not you. You. Yes, you. It's you. Y-O-U. Okay, but it's the most used word in the English language. But words can do an amazing things. There are good words, and there are bad words. Just by the mention of more snow. Yes. Yes, most of you are already depressed because you've looked at the weather report for, I saw it for Tuesday night, -1. You know, just that warm feeling comes back, doesn't it? That just a word, more snow or cold weather. Words can do an amazing thing. And there's funny things, there's sad things, and there can be serious words. You can walk in, and some of you have experienced this. You've gone into a doctor's office, and you've sat down, and you thought everything was going okay. Maybe you were just going for a regular checkup, and they came in, and they said a word. And there was a burden. There was a burden there. Words can be powerful. And tonight, we're going to look at seven of them. I can do all things through Christ. You know, you would say, why does Paul say this? You know, maybe Nebuchadnezzar, he could say it because he was king. Xerxes, he could say it because, you know, back in charge of Persia, he could say that. Maybe Alexander the Great. I can do all things. But here Paul, and you can almost see him because most people believe there's all kinds of debate about Paul and how he looked, but most people kind of believe he was hunched over. Most believe he was probably bald. Most believe that he had some problem with his eyesight, and so he's hunched over, he's older, and he's saying here, I can do all things through Christ. You would think of all people, it wouldn't be Paul, but Paul with confidence pens these words for you and I. I can do all things through Christ. So this evening we're going to look at a couple of ideas dealing with this, I can do all things through Christ. First of all, you see the people of faith. What is the people of faith? We're going to kind of just go through those seven words. There's not 7 points. Just hold on. Some of you there are really anxious about the quarterly report. Just hold on a little bit. It won't be 7 points. You'll get to that quarterly report and get to nap time soon, okay? But the people of faith is that first word, I. That includes you and I. It includes us in this powerful word. In these words here, it's saying that I can do it. It's not saying that somebody else can. God includes you and I. Remember, the scripture says in Ephesians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Sometimes God used angels. In fact, in the Jewish society, if you go to the book of Hebrews, remember the book of Hebrews, scholars, was written to the Hebrews. Look at that. You guys are smart. You're right there, almost ready for the quarterly report. Okay? But the book of Hebrews, right at the beginning, if you read the first chapter, you will see the mention of angels over and over. Because the Jewish people thought that angels held a very special place in God's eye. Because if you think way back, an angel delivered the message to Abraham that started the whole nation. And then there was an angel, we believe it was an epiphany, the captain of the Lord of hosts, that stood there with Joshua and gave him courage to stand. We know that an angel came to both Mary and Joseph, and that angels came and brought the message and sang glad tidings, good tidings of great joy. So angels were very special, but God didn't say angels can do all things. No, he said you and I can. You know, he's used angels on occasions. He's used a dumb beast. Now, some of you just thought of your mate. All right, now I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about your mate here. I'm talking about an animal. All right, now you're like, oh, that you just named him. All right, but I'm not talking about your mate here. I'm talking about a dumb beast, a donkey. Remember in the Old Testament, he used a donkey to do something. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he could even make the rocks cry out if he wanted to. So God can use inanimate objects. He can use angels. But in this passage, he says, I don't want to use them. I want to accomplish something through you and I. I can do all things. Almost always, God calls men and women to do his bidding. God seeks out ordinary folks, folks like you and I. You know, in fact, God seldom uses the mighty. He seldom uses the powerful. He likes using the foolish things. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says this, for you see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And then he continues on and Paul says, but God calls, or God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What's God telling you and I? He's telling you and I that we don't have to have some special talent. We don't have to be in America's top 100 and maybe featured in Forbes because we're so successful. In fact, Paul is telling us a lot of times when people are successful in the world's eyes, God doesn't use them. So it's nice being just a common folk, isn't it? It's nice being somebody that doesn't have a lot of talent, doesn't have a lot of things to offer, because God says, I like using people like that. And so when you don't have a lot to offer, now we have to give it to them. Just like the lad with the lunch. He didn't have a lot to offer. All he had was 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. But in God's hands, he could feed a multitude. And in the same way, in God's hands, when we place ourselves in His hands, I can do all things through Christ. No flesh should glory. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's turn there quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And notice what the Bible says here when they are looking for a king. In 1 Samuel 16, Saul had been rejected in chapter 15 because he didn't obey God. He was supposed to utterly destroy all the Amalekites, and he didn't do it, so God took the kingdom away, and Samuel is going to anoint somebody in the house of Jesse. And so in verse 3, he calls Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And so we see that he comes, and in verse 5, he calls Jesse and tells him to bring his sons in. And notice that in verse 6 and 7, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Now Eliab was Jesse's eldest son, and it just seemed to, for Samuel, it just seemed to make sense that this has got to be him. But it wasn't. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look at verse 7, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then he calls Abinadab, made him pass. And it goes, and then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And it goes on and on and on. And we know that it comes down to verse 11. And in verse 11, it says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, yeah, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel is thinking, boy, we had them all come. Is there somebody else? And even Jesse, well, that's the one that we have out there keeping the sheep. But God doesn't see like we see. And I'm so glad that God doesn't look at things the way we do. And so when we go to maybe accomplish something, or maybe we're going to work on something as far as for God, do not say, well, I don't have the talent, or I don't have the skills, or I don't have much to offer. God comes to you and says, well, that's great, because no flesh is supposed to glory in my presence. He wants to get the glory, and so he'll take somebody that is ruddy. All right, you see that word used sometimes. He's ruddy, he's young, he doesn't know a lot of things, but he's willing to give everything to God, and he can go out and charge the Goliaths. You know, there's a kind of a modern example of somebody like that. It was about 300 years ago. There was a boy, he was 11 years old, and he began working on the ships in the Mediterranean Sea. He tried running away from the captains. He was demoted to the lowest rank on the ship. He had a reputation of being one of the most undisciplined, rude, foul-mouthed sailors as a 14, 15, and 16-year-old. Nobody liked being around this boy. He was so bad that few captains wanted him on their vessel. Eventually, this man was given his own ship, and it was a slave ship. He would take slaves by the hundreds to the New World, till one night he was caught in a storm. And it seemed like the ship would sink and all would be lost. And on May 10th, 1748, he gave his life to Christ. He quit being captain of the slave ships. He went and started studying for the ministry, and God used him. And he wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton was a wretched man. And he knew he was a wretched man, But yet God loves to reach down and save a man like that. And then let them know that they can do all things through Christ. Because he likes using people. He likes using people. The second thing we see in this passage in Philippians chapter 4, we see I, that's the people of faith, and look at I can do. I can do. That's the perspective. What's the perspective? The perspective is that you can do it. All right, now, we'll get later on that it's not just a matter of power of positive thinking, and it's not just saying that, hey, oh, you can do everything. But Henry Ford said it this way, success begins with I can, failure with I can't. And the reason that sometimes we don't accomplish things is because we just say, I can't do all things. When God wants us to just try it. Do it. You can do it. There's so many people that say you cannot win souls in today's world. You cannot knock on doors in today's world. You cannot have a Christian school. You cannot have bus routes. You cannot raise a family. Well, I beg to differ. Because our God is still here, and he has kept us here in this earth, and he has empowered us. And as we talked about this morning, he has equipped us with every weapon necessary, every piece of armor we need to be victorious, so that we can say, I can do all things through Christ. There's a salesman that tells a funny story about a perspective. He was driving to work one day, the salesman, and he saw a little boy sitting under a tree, on the side of the road, and he was driving by, and the boy sat, and he had this scruffy-looking puppy. I mean, just nasty-looking puppy. And then a crudely etched sign next to the puppy that said, puppy for sale, really cheap. The look on the kid's face was enough to tell him that the kid wasn't having a lot of luck. The man stopped his car, walked over, and he was just, he was a salesman, so he thought, man, I'm just going to give this kid a couple tips. So the boy told him, the salesman, his plight, and his dog had puppies, and his dad told him he could save and have the money if he sold this puppy. But nobody seemed to be interested. And the salesman offered some advice to this young man. He said, you need to think positive. You got to think positively about this. You have to believe. You got to believe in this puppy. You got to believe that this is the best puppy in the world. And he said, you have to make it look good, too. Look at that thing. You got to clean him up. And so the man had to keep going, and so he left. And an hour later, he was kind of driving back through, and the boy with the puppy was still there. And by this time, the boy had taken some advice, and so he was dressed up. He had a suit on now. He had his best studs. The dog had been washed. He was brushed. And there was a big bow around the dog's neck, and it says, World's Greatest Dog for Sale, $10,000. And the salesman like, no. No way. He says, what have I done? And he didn't have time to straighten it out, so he left. And later that day, the salesman happened down the same street again. He'd almost forgotten about the lad. He drove by, and he saw the big sign there. And then, in big red letters, it said, sold. He was like, oh, my word. He's like, I can't believe. He said, I got to hire this kid. He said, he sold a dog for $10,000. And so he had to stop, so he stopped. He ran up to the house. He said, man, I can't believe my eyes. He said, and the boy came, and he said, well, what happened? And the boy had a huge smile. He's like, yeah, I sold it. And then he stopped, and he said, well, actually, I didn't sell it. I traded it for two $5,000 cats. Now, it is a matter of perspective, isn't it, though? It is all a matter of perspective. And the perspective was that this kid wanted to sell that puppy. He wanted to sell the puppy, and he wanted it so bad. And it all changed, though, in his mind, in his head. But sometimes, and I think this is what we do with God, we just tell God it can't be done. It's amazing what you can do when you know you can't. For instance, David didn't know that Goliath could drop him. He could just wipe him out. Goliath could have wiped him out, but David just didn't know it. He didn't know that he couldn't beat Goliath, and so he just did it. Caleb didn't know that the promised land couldn't be conquered. Joshua didn't know that Jericho's walls weren't supposed to come down. And Elijah didn't know that his enemies were too many. And there are many times and many things that we just put out there and say, well, this is just too big of a problem. Well, is it? Is it too big for God? Or is that just you? Because the Bible tells me that I can do. I can do it. And you notice then the third thing, and this is the potential. Look at the potential. It says as we continue on that I can do, but notice the phrase, all things. There's no qualifier. It doesn't say I can do some things. It doesn't say I can do a little bit of thing for you. He says I can do all things. That's a mighty big promise. But no bigger than some of the other promises in the Bible. God wants us to experience the all things. I made up a little collection of alls in the Bible, and this isn't conclusive, I can tell you that. And some of them, as you look at it, there are over 5,000 times that the Bible uses the word all in the Bible. So sometime read them, okay? But there's a collection of alls. In Genesis 6, it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. You see that all means that Noah understood all commandments were important. In Genesis 24, it says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. In Genesis 39, it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. In Exodus chapter 12, it says, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. In Psalm 23, I like this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 34, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried 2 verses later, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now these ones we know in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together. In Romans 8:32, it says, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all. And then it continues on and it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Now, what do you think God's trying to tell you and I? Is he telling us that he can do all things? Even going back, there are some things God tells us to do and he wants us to do it all the way. But then there are other times that he says, hey, those fears and troubles, I'll take care of all of them. And there are so many times that we limit God because we do not believe that God can do all things. And here in this verse, it's telling us he can do all things. That's the potential of faith. The potential of faith is that I can raise my children for God. I can see souls saved. I can see people added to the church. I can see God do mighty things. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? Isn't it great to hear reports from overseas of people that are seeing all things accomplished that he desires in their life? Well, join them. Join up. Because that same God is there and he's available for you. He's available for you when you need help in your family. He's there for you when you're out there and you're saying, you know what, I don't know what to do, God. I'm having problems. This has hurt. This sin has got me burdened down. We preached on sin last week. And yeah, there's a harvest for it. And yeah, it's hard. But don't you know that God can take care of all sin? He can take care of all of it. All of it can be wiped away. And you can be more than a conqueror. The potential of faith, the potential is that it's all. It's all inclusive. Now, does it mean the power of positive thinking? No, because in our text, you know, even we believe here that Paul is writing in prison. And so when Paul is saying, you know, he's not a faith healer here. He's not flying in his Learjet into the Roman airport, hopping off, and he's going to a big-time meeting. The stage is getting pressed. They're going to prepped, and they're going to rock it out. He's going to come up and share a message of hope. No, he's sitting in prison. But you notice that he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So what is Paul saying? That even in a time of poverty, physical poverty, it can be spiritual wealth. It may be that I'm having a hard time physically, but God doesn't let go of that all things because He'll still be there. He'll be there through all things. All things. The point is, Christ is sufficient. Even when I can't change things. Paul's saying, even when the circumstances may be bad, it still is true. God can do all things. He can do it. When my circumstance has the potential to change me, I don't rest on that. I rest on the God that can change the circumstances. I can be in the worst place of my entire life, but I can have joy and peace because Christ can be all things to me. One man wrote it this way, have you come to the Red Sea place in your life where in spite of all you can do, there is no other way but through? Then wait on the Lord with a trust serene. Till the night of your fear is gone, He will send the winds, He will heap the floods. When He says to your soul, go on, and His hand shall lead you through, clear through. Ere the watery walls roll down, no wave can touch you, no foe can smite, no mightiest sea can drown. The tossing billows may rear their crest, their foam at your feet may break, but over their bed you shall walk dry shod. In the path that your Lord shall make, in the morning watch, neath the lifted cloud, you shall see but the Lord alone, when He leads you forth from the place of the sea to a land that you have not known, and your fears shall pass as your foes have passed, you shall no more be afraid. God wants to be right there. He can be all things. Then our last thing, we've seen the I and the can do and the all things, but there's our last word. And this is where the power of positive thinking goes out, because I can say it all. And why could Paul say it with confidence? He could stand before us tonight and he could say, I can do all things. And it wasn't because he was thumping his chest. It wasn't because he was arrogant. It's because he finished the phrase, I can do all things through Christ. I can do it through Him. That's the power of faith. That is where the power comes from. It is through Christ. Phrase is not about the power of positive thinking. It's not some kind of pull yourself up by them strap boots or bootstraps. I told you, I'm mixing. I'm telling you, just wait till the quarterly comes. It's going to be unbelievable. I think we're going to be like 1.5 million in the positive. But the power, the secret of this power is not in you. The power is in Christ. And Christ strengtheneth me. Napoleon, listen to what he said. Napoleon Bonaparte. This is what he said. He said, battles are won not by men, but by a man. Now, he wasn't talking about Christ. Napoleon actually, I think, was thinking about himself. All right, but Napoleon says that battles weren't won by men, but by a man. And that is still true today, but it's by the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can win battles. And what's amazing to me is that Christ lets me share in those victories. Now, you and I understand this because we've been there. Some of you have participated in sports, and some of you have sat on the sidelines. And now most of us sit on the sidelines. And maybe we're watching some activity or we're watching something. And I remember one time being at a Cubs game and some people were just running crazy down the street because they won. And you could understand that with Cubs fans because it's such a rare event. It's such a rare event that they win that just they're so excited. They're just kind of ballistic. They're beside themselves. And so they're running up and down. They're like, we won! Now you know, and I know, that guy didn't win. He did not. He did nothing. You sat on the sidelines and you ate peanuts, all right? Or whatever else you do at ball games. We know what most of them do, so that's why he's probably running down saying that. But here he is saying, we won! No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. Now, in the same way, we get to participate with Christ and we get to experience victories and Christ lets us share in the victory and say, we win. But it's Christ. Don't be those silly people running down the thing saying, we did it. No, you didn't. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. That is the power of faith. The Old Testament prophet in Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And in John 15, remember Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. It is still all through Christ. All through Christ. One man wrote this. And he was writing, actually, I think, to preachers. And he said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. And God promises you and I a limitless power. An unlimited power that we can tap into, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has defeated the enemy. Jesus Christ wants to give you victory. So why wallow in defeat? Why not step up? And it's not just some power of positive thinking because you know what Paul had gone through. You know his life. But Paul could sit in the prison and he could pen the words, I can do all things through Christ. And he could pen those words because he experienced it. And some of you, you've experienced it sometime. You've been through a hard trial. You've been there with your family. You've been there with some physical need. You've been there in a financial stress and a financial strain. And you've seen God do all things. Trust him again. We should be people of faith. And when we're people of faith, what we will see, you'll see amazing things done because God wants to accomplish those things, those all things in your life. There was a story many years ago about a young man. His name was Danny Simpson. At the age of 24, he went into the Bank of Ottawa in Canada at gunpoint. And he robbed the bank of $6,000. Now, shortly after this, he was captured. But this was the ironic point about Danny Simpson. It was the weapon that he chose. In his hand, when he walked into the bank, He had a 1918 45 caliber semi-automatic Colt that at that time was worth over $100,000. Now, Danny's problem was what? He didn't know what was in his hand. He had all he needed. And some of you, you have all you need in Christ. And you're tapping into the world. You're tapping into maybe some friend. You're tapping into some book. You're tapping anywhere. Give me something. I've got to figure it out. Well, let me answer this. The answer is in Christ. You can do all things, not by yourself, through Christ, because He'll strengthen you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This evening, God may have touched your heart in some area. Maybe you're struggling, maybe physically. And it's been hard. I challenge you to run to Christ. Maybe in your family, maybe in your marriage. We've been working on that this month. Then go to Christ. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you what you need. He's there for you. Paul learned it. It wasn't always easy. But he learned because Jesus Christ, remember, came next to him and he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." You'll find that his grace is sufficient. Oh, sometimes we have to go through some trials. It's not God's fault. He wants to strengthen us. Learn to trust in him. Heavenly Father, we